Mind your mind and gain your freedom. Tonight I'm going to ask you this question. Do you think that your mind affects your health? Many know that it does. Although you have heard so much about it, it still remains parrot talk. I want you to know why it affects your bodily health. In this lecture, I'm going to show you how your mind affects your body. And in simple language, I'm going to explain to you the scientific facts underlying this great subject. In Amos 5, verse 10, it reads, "A man runs from a lion, and a bear springs at him. He hides indoors and rests his hand on the wall, and a serpent bites him." Is this not the state of man's mind, rushing from one thing to another, because he has not yet discerned the way to overcome all things? Here we see clearly how one person may run from one thing to another. They worry about this, they worry about that. If then something troubles them, something else troubles them. If we fear something, we're sure to fear something else. Fear is often the basic principle underlying all our troubles. If we can realize then how to discern what we are doing, then we will be able to overcome. We will not be like the man that runs from a lion and a bear springs at him, and he hides indoors and rests his hand on the wall and a serpent bites him. We'll be free from all these things, and that is knowing how. Neurotic or mental troubles are generally called imaginary illnesses. Those who do not suffer from them assume them to be imaginary, and the effects that appear are so-called imaginary. But these troubles are very real to the person who suffers from them, and it is necessary to understand how they come about, otherwise there can be no cure for the sufferer. How many people have been told, yes, by your physician, "Oh, it's just your mind, it's just imagination, run away home, it'll be all right." But when you run away home, you're like the man that runs from a lion and a bear springs at you. You are not cured. You're still troubled from your condition. And there is no use of saying it's just imaginary. It's your imagination. That does not cure you. Because you're caught up in your nervous system, your brain becomes affected because it has a misbehavior which takes place in the cerebellum, picturing itself on your body in some way or another. Now the man himself is invisible. You have never seen a man, or you have never seen a woman. You have only seen the outside form. The material form is the focal point through which the invisible man and invisible woman function. Jesus said, "What if you come out to see a man?" Knowing perfectly well that nobody could see a real man. Therefore, the man is invisible. In his mind lies most of his troubles. His consciousness is caught up in his reactions to this and to that, and consequently, the fall, that is, the outer form becomes affected. And then the outer form being affected talks back to the mind. And because it talks back to the mind, then you're caught up in it. Therefore, you may say it's imaginary, but that doesn't heal you. That does not cure you. And it's necessary for us to understand what's taking place before you really get rid of these troubles. And in this course, in the one to follow, we will find the ways and means how this is done. The trouble is an illness where our imagination has its home, and this is the nervous system. It is caused more often than not by repression of negative thoughts and emotions in ignorance of what we are doing. We spoke about this in our last lesson. The first and foremost question I want to ask you is this: how do you react to your environment? What really are your thoughts? And what are your emotions in regard to events, people, and what effects do they have upon you? When we begin to discern these things, we begin to break them up. We are not caught up in them because we begin to discern them. We begin to discern then the cause of most of our troubles. But that does not free us from them yet. There is what we call divine reasoning and understanding that comes into operation. There is positive and negative in everything. Positive and negative exists in the relative and must always exist in the relative. And they are always desiring to come into contact with one another. That is why each person, each man, each woman is an unbalanced half. And this unbalanced half is always endeavoring to unite with its other unbalanced half. And when these two unbalanced halves come together, then there is one whole and harmony is established. But don't think that, as it were, that the sex question comes into that all the time. It is, to a great extent, companionship and vibration. And you will see then how great it is to understand that the body is the vehicle through which you are functioning. The contacts which you make spiritually, mentally, and physically are designed according to you, how you are made up, how God has prepared you, how he has made you in his own image and likeness in the relative world. Therefore, in the relative world, there is always these positive and negatives, and always will exist. And harmony in the relative world comes about always when these two unbalanced halves come together and unite as one. There you have then the natural thing in the whole of all creation. All creation throughout the whole relative has positive and negative. Water, ice, anything you see has positive and negative. And because you see it active there, you know that it is positive and negative in it. Now you're living in this positive and negative. But you must realize this, what I'm showing to you. If you want to get rid of the negative, you can't get rid of it by putting a positive in its place, because you still have a negative, because you're living in the relative world. You've got to get behind the relative and see the wholeness that is manifesting through all things. Then you will find freedom. That is divine reasoning. These are very pertinent questions, require very pertinent answers. This you must do for yourselves. The answers you make to yourselves are of the greatest value in releasing tension in your mind and body. There is much scientific knowledge underlying this great question, and in the light of our modern scientific knowledge, I want to show you how your mind really affects your body. We saw in the last lecture how the brain, the nervous system, played an important part in the effects we feel. But I am taking you one step further tonight into the plane of superphysics. We saw how the cerebellum tells us how the body feels. This organ here is what we call, if you like, the sympathetic nervous system that controls all the various functions of the body. And these functions are automatic, such as the beating of your heart, your breathing apparatus, the cell structure of your body, the digestion of your food, the elimination of your food, and all the various processes of your body that are automatic in nature are controlled directly by the cerebellum. If then any of these functions is out of order or is interfered with in any way, the message is sent to the cerebellum, and this cerebellum tells you what's going on in the body. It tells you how you feel, how it feels, what's being done, what's being interrupted. You have a pain here, a sensation there, and so forth. If you are unaware of the mechanism that's taking place, and then through your cerebrum, which carries the message to your mind, you become aware through your own consciousness, because you are functioning through this physical organism. It's the focal point through which the invisible man is manifested. So you see, then you, as a complete person, mind you, a person who is invisible in nature, who is in no way conditioned at all through your body, but you are conditioned when you're caught up in these feelings. And when you do not understand the mechanism of the body, when you do not understand what's taking place, your consciousness, which in itself is not conditioned, but is conditioned when you then become confused with these sensations. And confused with these sensations, your consciousness becomes caught up in the vicious circle, and fear then takes place. But remember this, that your consciousness is not separated in any way from the consciousness of God, because it cannot be. Because there can only be one consciousness, one life, one substance. There can be no other. And there can only be one living entity, God Himself, who creates you, lives in you, expressing Himself. My consciousness then is in God, and God's consciousness is in me. How can God's consciousness be a condition? It is not an impossibility. But when you are unaware of these facts, then you allow these conditions to affect you. And then you are conditioned. Then you create further conditions because you fear that which is taking place in your body. If you then could extract yourself, look at yourself, see what's taking place in your mind, in your body, discern the cause of all these things, then you would be free, would you not? Because you are looking at something relative to yourself, something outside yourself. Therefore, assume this to be true, that your body is the focal point through which you are manifesting in this physical plane. That is why you live after death, so-called death. We have seen that there is a basic energy that is in operation throughout the great universe. This basic energy manifests itself in three great principles. Let us call them mind, energy, and matter. These are derived from the same source, although manifesting in different forms. Mind, energy, and matter originated from the same source because all is mind. Energy, then, is intelligence in action, and matter is the result of that action. Science has proved to us very plainly that all matter, what we see, can be broken up into its atomic form, into that invisible form which we don't see. We have never seen an atom. No one has ever seen an atom. There is no microscope great enough to look at one. We discern them through electronic activity, so that we understand the movement that takes place. We begin to see then how these electrons, the nucleus of an atom, and then the electrons that revolve round the nucleus of the atom, creates an atom itself. This is energy. But this atom could not exist at all except through the intelligence that is guiding it and forming its action. It would be entire chaos. The whole universe would be in chaos. Your body would be in chaos. Everything would be in chaos if it was not for that intelligence guiding the atoms, the direction of the atoms, how they should flow, how they should come together, what the attraction should be, and so forth. That intelligence then becomes energy itself. And that energy itself becomes the manifestation of matter you see here now. And what then is the directing power of that intelligence? The consciousness, of course. The consciousness that is behind all things. The intelligence is the knowing how of the universe. The why is locked up in God. The why is that prerogative that God knows, neither the angels in heaven know. The Master says clearly, no one knoweth, not even the Son of Man, nor the angels in heaven, only the Father knoweth. But we can see the how of things. We can see all these things taking place. And we can see how we condition ourselves by our reactions to things, people, and events, and circumstances. And we will then, if we are caught up in these reactions, without discerning what we are doing, we then create the vicious circle, and then we are caught up in our own beliefs. Everything we know of in this plane must have these three principles of mind, energy, and matter, and must manifest through our physical bodies as well as every conceivable thing in existence. We know now that all matter can be broken up into its atomic form, invisible to the physical eye. Nevertheless, this is the matter that you see and feel. The atom itself is likened into a universe in miniature, having a nucleus in the center controlling the particles that surround it, which make up the eddy or whirlpool in this unknown substance we call mind. You can't tell me what matter is. You can't tell me what energy is. You can't tell me what electricity is. You can't tell me what mind is. You can't tell me what it is. But you know that it is. You can't tell me what electricity is. You say that's a light. Quite so, it's a light. But you can't tell me what the light is. You can say it's vibrations. I said, yes, perfectly true. What are vibrations? Where do they arrive from? We can see the how of things, but we can't tell that which is behind all things. And that is true. You can say this is a table, but I say I know that perfectly well. But what is a table? You'll say, well, it's a bit of a tree. I say I know that pretty well too. But what's a tree? Well, it grows from the ground. I said, yes. And so forth, and you go back and back, and you find that you don't know what it is at all. You only know that it is. So it is with life itself. I don't know what life is, but I know that it is. I don't know what consciousness is, but I know that it is. I'm alive, living. I must be life. I am the life, the Master said. If I then can see everything that's relative, I can dissolve all these things away into that which is perfect in itself, which is the fundamental principle underlying all things, then I have discerned all these things that are relative, even the positive and negative pole, which belongs to man and woman. Even the positive and negative pole that belongs to everything existing in the universe. I can discern it, see it for what it is. I know then that it's relative to me. Then I recognize truly I am behind all things, that I exist behind all the relative universe because it is open before me. Therefore, I am eternal and must be eternal and complete in myself, and I cannot be separate from the whole. In that divine reasoning, then you can see clearly and distinctly that I, you, are made in the image and likeness of God. I do not know what it is, but I know that it is. Now let me explain briefly what science knows about the atom and its movement. Science says that the atom is like a universe having a central sun, which is the nucleus. Revolving around this nucleus are particles which are thrown off. These particles can be few or many according to the grossness of the substance which these atoms make up. In other words, the center becomes active and throws off particles identical to itself, yet they become negative or relative to the center. These particles create an eddy or whirlpool in this unknown substance we call mind. Science tells us that these atoms are identical to the planets that surround the sun. Relatively speaking, the distance corresponds to the distance between the planets and the sun. The infinitely small and the infinitely large are in the same proportion. The same law underlies both, all within the mind of the infinite. So we see that there is one law underlying all things from the beginning to the end, and everything is relative to the next thing. All relative. One another. And Einstein, in his new mathematical formula, in which only scientists who have been trained in higher mathematics can understand, has proved definitely that everything is relative and that which exists in itself is not relative to anything, but everything must be relative to it. And not only that, it must be one whole. Everything must come from one source. And there can be no other source but one. And Einstein is correct in his mathematical formula, as we know from our divine reasoning, as the masters understand, from their own consciousness, by going back and back ad infinitum, seeing everything relative to that which is recognizing it or discerning it. And everything that's relative is under the control and the direction of that which is discerning it. Therefore I say this, if you can discern even these things that are happening in your bodies, and you discern how they come about, how you react to people, events, and circumstances, then you can dissolve them. You will separate yourself from them. To make things plainer to you, let me give you the example of ice. When we apply energy to a block of ice, it turns to water. When we apply more energy to water, it turns to steam, dissolving into the atmosphere as atoms known as H2O, two of hydrogen, one of oxygen. We know then that H2O is in the atmosphere. These two gases exist in the atmosphere, and these two gases coming together form all the water you see. Why is it then that ordinary water you take out of the ground, you spray the flowers, the garden with water, and you say that this water you take from the ground and you spray all over the place is nothing like rain. Rain is fertilized because rain draws other elements with it and surrounds it. As rain comes down, so it brings these elements that are in solution in the atmosphere down into the ground and fertilizes the ground. And that is why rain is better than all the water you could ever spray on your flowers, on your garden, or on your land. Nature has provided for everything. And nature has provided for you the finest and the greatest healing force in the world that is within yourselves. Always ready to come into operation of its own free will when you take off the brakes. When you discern what you're doing, when you relax properly, take the tension off your muscles and nerves, then nature does the work. Nature has provided the finest and the only healing power in existence. And she does it automatically when you do, as I say, discern what you are doing. Take the tension off your muscles and your nerves and become aware. It seems simple, as I say, but it's not so simple as one thinks. It requires a good deal of practice. Even to take the tension off the muscles of your body can't be done in 5 minutes. It may take you months before you begin to take the tension off your muscles. But you will never take the tension off your muscles until you have become aware of what tension is. And it is only when you become aware of what tension is that you can eliminate the residue of tension that remains. That's why it takes some time before you can master proper relaxation. Perhaps I'm going too fast. I'm going in probably into the things that you will learn later on. But at the same time, to tell you now will enable you to understand what happens. Don't think that relaxing is just throwing yourself down in bed and say, I'm relaxed, for the simple reason you are not. All your muscles are tense. If you go to sleep, You turn probably 100 times in your sleep. You do all those sort of things and you say that you're relaxed. Foolish people, you're not relaxed. You haven't known what relaxation is. If I tried to tell you what real relaxation is, it would be like telling to a man that's born blind the beautiful colors. That's exactly what it would mean. And therefore you can't tell then to a person born blind what those beautiful colors are. He's only got to imagine. But you will find these things out for yourselves. You'll find how beautiful it is. It'll take the tension off the muscles. You think that you are relaxed. You haven't started yet. Suppose you go to sleep at night. And you sleep, you say. But in the morning, you're just tired as you went to bed, even more so. What happens? All right, I'll tell you. One set of muscles of the legs, stretch the legs out, are pulling against the set of muscles that want the leg to bend. And there's a continual strain, seesaw movement going all the time in your body. You lie on your back, perhaps, and all the time your muscles are taut. As the muscles are tied to the lower portion of your back, the pelvis, they are pulling all the time, straining those particular parts of the muscles and the nerves, and cause pain. You think that you've got to get rid of that in 5 minutes. No, you don't. Relax. Relax, and you'll find that as the muscles begin to relax, so the tension will take away. God does the work when you take off the brakes. You put on the brakes, you've got to take off the brakes. He doesn't take off the brakes. He only heals you when you take off the brakes. They say the only way you can know when a Scotsman is dead is to go through his pockets. And if he doesn't move, he's dead. It's just the same with a lot of people. Now you know that there are well-known processes of refrigeration which can reduce these atoms to form liquid called water and also to further reduce that water to form ice. You can neither add to nor destroy matter that exists in the universe. You can only change its form. Now these atoms that make up your body are in a like manner changed by the color of your thoughts and emotions. Just as you change these atoms by refrigeration to solids from liquids and from ice to water, so forth, so they are in a like manner changed by the color of your thoughts and emotions. Matter that is invisible to the physical eye is nothing more than these atoms forming into groups as the body and other objects. Therefore, we see that there is intelligence everywhere, energy everywhere, manifesting in the form of matter. These interpenetrate each other, causing harmony or inharmony according to the thoughts and emotions we hold. Your consciousness is the real you behind in and all through. All what your consciousness is aware of, so it will be unto you. You are the center, the nucleus of life, the creative principle known as consciousness. You draw to yourself these various particles of matter, building innumerable cells into organs and a body. This is the creator at work, because there can be no other self or conscious self but the infinite self. Being infinite in nature, therefore, this must be so. Now this intelligence, energy and matter, which makes up your body, must be at your command and must respond to you because of the infinite nature of your inner self or being. Whatever then the consciousness is aware of, so does the atoms change. Not only does the atoms change, but a person in fear can become prostrated. A person in fear can ooze water out of every portion of his body. Sweat can rise from his brow. A man and a woman in sorrow can shed tears, or can tremble with emotion. All these things become automatic. Think then what's happening to the atoms in your body if the whole body itself is trembling and moving like this. Think what takes place in the atomic structure of the body. I explained in our last lesson the wonderful organization of brain, nerves, connecting every cell in your body, carrying food and life to reach all. The food is carried through the arterial system, while the life energy flows through the nerves. This twofold system acts as one under the control of the cell. So you see that your physical body is a living mass of conscious combinations of atoms, cells, organs, all forming a body under the control of the self or I am. We also see that there is an intelligence constantly at work harmonizing all these for a definite purpose. This intelligence is the expression of the infinite self, otherwise the will of God in operation, that we should be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. So this is the great healing power that is continually in operation, which is harmony. The basis of the whole universe is harmony. Harmony exists in the universe as one whole. It is outpouring all the time through your mind, through your body, through everything. If you create this harmony, it was you that created this harmony, but immediately you discern what you are doing, then there is a peace that comes into your mind, into your consciousness, and then that intelligence, which is harmony itself, brings into operation. But you must learn the technique of how this comes about. Take the brakes off. Intelligence is the expression of the infinite self, otherwise the will of God in operation. The intelligence can be affected by our errors in thought, emotions, and desire. But when relaxed and all tension taken off mind and body, this intelligence tends to bring our mind and body back to its true state, made in the image and likeness of its Creator. Therefore, we suffer just as much from the ignorant violation of the law of harmony as we do from the conscious violation of this law. In our investigations in modern research, it has been proved that man has more bodies than the physical. Sensitized photographic experiments performed in their own laboratories have proved that there is a superphysical structure which supports the physical. And this superphysical emerges out of the invisible substance which makes up all things. We see then the physical is an excretion, I would say an excretion of that invisible substance that supports it and remains after you leave that excretion, and that excretion then dissolves away into the substance which it came. Every atom in your body then begins to disintegrate. Atoms of water go to water, the atoms of soil go to soil, atoms of the various elements, that's calcium, carbon, and so forth, potassium and everything, go back to their own particular states. It may take some time for these atoms to pass back into the original form, but they eventually do. And you find that the physical organism that once was the outpicturing and the focal point for invisible man has passed away into the invisible substance out of which it rose. Again we prove what Paul says is true. We live and move and have our being in him. Therefore, we are part of the whole and cannot be separated from it. Now let us probe this question and its practical application in our daily lives. We see that there is an intelligence working everywhere in the body. Let us call this mind. This intelligence works from within the atoms themselves. Let us call this the mental body affected by our thoughts. Then we have what is known as ethereal counterpart affected by our emotions. And in the physical we have manifestation and sensation. The action of our thoughts and emotions upon the body, the sounding board for this activity. So we can see that we have a science has proved that man has an invisible body. A body that is invisible in nature, yet exists. And higher forms, the masters say, that they see perfectly clearly what's taking place. The master, thoroughly trained, can look into you and see what's taking place in the mind, in the emotional body, and in the physical body. He's trained to see beyond, as it were, the physical atom, and see the formations of your own thoughts taking place. These thoughts then affect the mental body. The emotions then stir up these particular effects in the astral body, or ethereal body, and these then are pictured on the physical body, which is the sounding board for your thoughts and emotions. So the physical body is the sounding board for your thoughts and emotions. And when you're caught up in the sounding board, not discerning what's taking place inside, then you are caught up in a vicious circle that you yourselves create through ignorance. Now the consciousness is the controlling factor behind all this, and is the source of our thinking, the source of our emotions, the source of our desires, cravings, etc. Therefore, how necessary it is for us to discern what the consciousness is thinking. The consciousness must become aware of itself and of what it is thinking. When the consciousness is turned upon itself, it sees what it is doing. Therefore, it discerns the thoughts, emotions, reactions, and by that you are free. So we see that it is necessary for us to discern what the consciousness is thinking and reacting to. If reactions are too intense, an escape may be sought through a breakdown. When you have then reactions which are too intense, and you are caught up in them, you all want to escape, but you can't escape. And because it becomes too intense, you escape then from life, as it were, by receding away from it. And that is a breakdown. You can't face the world. You can't face people. You can't look at them. You can't talk to them. You want to run away. You want to escape. And the only way you can escape is by a breakdown. And that breakdown is brought about for you so that you can escape. But when you are caught up in your breakdown, do you escape? No, you're caught up in your breakdown and you're still caught in the vicious circle. You have never escaped and cannot escape. The only way you can escape to freedom is to know the truth about yourself. Health is nothing more than our physical body responding to the perfect harmony and rhythm of the universe, your internal organs in tune, and your subtle bodies blending in vibration in accordance with your consciousness or awareness of reality. The source of all power, free from all conditions. Next week we will see how our thoughts originate and how the effects are transformed to the body. This all-important subject is so vital to you that I want to make this course outstanding in this respect. So if your whole body is light, without any corner of it in darkness, it will be lit up entirely, as when a lamp lights you with its rays. A wonderful truth. And the prophets of old understood. I often wonder how these great men got their information. Because when we look through their sayings, we see that science is proving them every day. But I know how these prophets got their information. They got them through inspiration. Now, inspiration may come in different ways. There are those scientists who've been struggling on Earth to solve the question of the atom, to solve the question of physical matter. They've been struggling hard. Naturally, it is necessary for all of us to struggle hard, not struggle in the struggle itself, but struggle in a way to observe that which is taking place. We must not struggle with struggle. That is dangerous. But we do struggle with our minds to search, to find what's taking place in the mind and body and matter. And if it wasn't for scientists, if it wasn't for teachers who understand these principles, you would never learn anything about them. But as we begin to recognize and find sources of information, we find that source of information, but we don't find it out of books. When you go to university, what do? You are just an imitator. Nothing more than an imitator. You imitate what other people have said before you and written down in books, and you copy it out and you put it into your mind and you say that's true. But that information becomes obsolete in a few years' time when new knowledge comes in and you must change your views. And as we pass through universities, I can remember easy enough when I was young, and I thought I knew a great deal when I left university, but I find now that I knew nothing at all. And the most of you who have grown up, who have passed university, know perfectly well that you learn more after you have passed through university than ever you did in the university. It is just, as it were, a preparatory ground for new knowledge. And unless you are prepared to accept that, and open your minds, then you will still be that individual that knows nothing. Intellectualism is humbug. Knowledge is truth. So therefore, try and open your minds to the greater truth. And the prophets, how did they open their mind? By aspiration. I can see the prophets aspire, opening up their minds. The body was completely forgotten. Even their minds were forgotten. They forgot themselves with an intensity of aspiration. But all of a sudden, the knowledge was before them. Why? Because they entered into that state of understanding. And in that state of understanding, scientists who have passed beyond the physical plane, who have seen behind the things, who are the artificers of the universe, who are looking on, who are the means by which the infinite pours through his intelligence, creating worlds, formation of worlds, beings, animals, all through various stages, from the very source of things itself, rising up into form, creating the form, and then the disintegration of that form into the substance of which it arose. These artificers are watching carefully and seeing all these things taking place. And as the prophet lifted up his concentration, as he forgot himself and entered into that realm, there he saw what was taking place. He knew. He didn't learn it from books. He got it from the true soul of understanding. And that's how you will also get true knowledge. Open yourselves by inspiration. Aspire. And you will find the secret of knowledge, the truth that will set you free. Benediction. Thou art the ocean, I am the liquid. Thou art the fire, I am the flame. Thou art the rose, I am the petal. Thou art the father, mother, I am thy offspring. Thou art the lover, I am the loved. Thou art the music, I am the rhythm. Thou art the infinite, I am the finite, one and the same. Thy peace in me makes me at peace. Thy joy in me makes me glad. Thy wisdom in me makes me true. Thy love in me makes me loving. Thy harmony in me makes me harmonious. O beloved, now I know we are one.